Let's talk TV, and I'm going to Caitlin Sherry in our Wellington studio. Hi.
Kia ora, how's it going?
You been watching much TV lately?
I have. Well, there's so much to watch these days.
Yeah.
Just so much better than the days of just two channels and lots of ads.
I know. We're back on the Homeland buzz. Did you get through all those ones?
I stopped at the key pivotal scene when the whole series was going to change and haven't gone back to it.
Was that quite early on?
No, it's a couple. And I have to be honest, I got a little bit tired of Claire Danes' crying and grimacing, and I just needed a break from it, and I haven't been back.
I know, a character that's going through a lot provides
She's
for lots of dramatic tension.
Going through a lot.
Yeah, you're lots of dramatic tension, but you do sometimes think, oh, can we just have one series where the medication's working, but I guess like real life, it doesn't kind of happen like that. Season 7 was just about our favourite season ever.
Oh, I haven't gone that far.
Yeah, we're in season 8 at the moment. We're loving it as well.
I think when you've got, it's sort of like people you know. Sometimes when there's always somebody who's having a drama, you get real compassion fatigue. You just need a little bit of a break from them.
Hey, well, tell me about Snowpiercer.
So Snowpiercer's had 2 seasons now, and I've just finished watching the 2nd season. It's a great show to watch with teenagers, possibly a little bit, not too young, just because there are some pretty dark themes at times. So it's basically, the premise is that the train is like an ark. So an attempt to geoengineer the climate to stop global warming worked too well and the whole planet froze.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And it got so cold that you couldn't live. So this crazy inventor guy called Mr. Wilford, with the help of a woman called Melanie, created a perpetual engine for a train that just travels around the globe 2.7 times a year, and there's lots of people on it. So
Did you review this before?
I have. So,
yeah, it's ringing a bell. Yeah, of course.
So season one, it was like the class structure of a typical train, and you had the very poor sort of, you know, lower class people at the back, and then you had the wealthiest people who had paid huge money for tickets at the front, and there was a revolution.
Yeah, you said it was really good. I never got to it. I apologise.
It's all good. There's a revolution. I mean, it's good in a trashy, fun way. Season two takes place post-revolution. So, and the new twist is that and turn your ears off if you desperately do not want to know what the premise of season two is. But a key character returns that we thought was dead, and it flips everything on its head, and there is an attempt to again take over the train. So there's a lot of interesting characters in that. There are people who switch sides. There are people who are like cult followers. There are children who play these little messengers, and there's things passed up the train through various ways. It's like spy networks in the war. It's like human society and human history all sped up and all mashed into one train. So there's all sorts of different scenarios going on.
Yeah, sounds good. Someone says, by the way, to look out for the cinematography on the show is apparently by a Kiwi-Canadian called Thomas Burston. Does it look good?
It does look good. A lot of it takes place on the train, but there's some fantastic shots of the landscapes outside. And sometimes they go through sort of the remnants of various cities. So you sort of see landmarks and things all sort of covered in snow. The idea of how cold it is quite extreme. So one of the barbaric ways they have to punish people who don't toe the line is to stick their arm out a hole in the train. And then when they bring it in, they just tap it with a hammer and it falls off because it just instantly freezes. It's barbaric. That's why I said don't watch it with anyone too young.
Yeah. Has it got that kind of background horror vibe that Westworld sometimes has?
Not quite. It's sort of slightly more political in that it's the sort of behaviour of power and control and trying to keep power over the masses, because the premise is that if there's chaos and if there is, you just don't have a functioning train. You have to have a functioning society on the train just to keep things happening, everyone doing their jobs.
It's a microcosm.
It's a microcosm of the world. But the problem is that they need to use quite extreme measures to keep this control. Because democracy doesn't necessarily, the idea is democracy is not necessarily going to work on this train, although people fight for it.
And I say this with kindness, but is, like, I've never seen this come up in my Netflix recommendations. Is it just a kind of obscure one that you happen to have discovered, or is it a well-known show?
It's hard because everyone's recommendations are different. And
yeah.
Because I watch, I have teenage sons,
yeah.
We probably get quite different recommendations.
Yeah.
So, but I quite like watching shows like that where they're kind of thoughtful and they... It's quite a nice way to learn about human nature in its own way, because there's not just pure good and bad characters. A little bit like with Harry Potter, is there's a lot of people in the middle who could go either way. The bureaucrats, as it were.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of your teenage sons, I love the photo of Mum with her two boys. I don't know if that's a private account or not, but it's quite. It just made me. Given how hard it is for me to get all my children in a photo looking in the right direction at one time, it must be very satisfying for a mum of two teenagers.
Always good when a guest comes who's actually a photographer and who grabs their phone and bosses you around and insists that your son smile for a photo.
Yeah, great.
Wouldn't happen if I was doing it. But the other show I want to talk about is Firefly Lane.
This is a classic... genre of television show, the genre that my wife watches when I'm out at work or doing something else, because I thought I said absolutely not.
Yeah, I watch it on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Firefly Lane.
Yeah. So it's but quite soapy. It's created for Netflix and it's based on a novel, and it is about the lives of two teenage girls in the 70s and all the way through to their adulthood in the early 2000s. So the present in it is actually 2003. You can tell it by the flip phones and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's Katherine Heigl, who is from Grey's Anatomy, and Sarah Chalk, who is from Scrubs. They're best friends.
Right.
And it jumps between time periods of their friendship and also their sort of struggles to become successes, to fall in love, and their different backgrounds and childhoods, and the various issues that you encounter at those various times, such as there's a character who can't tell anyone that he's gay because it's very frowned upon, and so on. So what I think is really great is it's really nice to see Katherine Heigl back on television, because she had a bit of a bad interruption to her career because she pretty much got almost blacklisted because she was quite outspoken. And since the Me Too movement, people have had a really big rethink about the way some women had been sidelined because of supposedly being difficult. And if you look at what she did, she basically did two major things wrong, according to Hollywood. She said she wasn't actually very happy with the scripts she had in Grey's Anatomy and withdrew herself from nomination for an Emmy, saying she didn't think that the material was, you know, worth it, really, that she didn't feel it was she deserved to be up against the others. So she was seen as ungrateful. And she was also in the film Knocked Up, Judd Apatow film, mm-hmm. And she came out and said that it was sexist. She said it paints women as shrews, as humourless and uptight, and men as lovable, goofy, fun-loving guys. Which, you know, you can't really argue with that. I did enjoy that film, but people were quite upset by her saying that. She said things that people... You meant to just be nice and grateful and not say those things. So she was painted as this very difficult person and pretty much... unprofessional, and it really stymied her career. So she went off and had kids. And so it's really great to see her back. She's actually a really good actress and has a real warmth and grit on camera.
Looks like a pretty interesting profile on her in the Washington Post. Did you read that one? Headline is Katherine Heigl is done apologising.
Yeah, she's really tough. She's starting to say things like, you know, she's kind of mad about it and you can't blame her. It's like the world needs plenty of people who just say, this is rubbish.
Yeah. Man, did you love the show?
I like it. I don't love it. It's not perfect. I like the fact that I can watch a show about female friendship. I actually kind of love the various fashions they wear in various times, you know, the dreadful 80s fashions and the Farrah Fawcett hair flick and things like that. It's nice in that sense. It's a little bit slow and a little bit soapy, but it's enjoyable. It's imperfect. But, again, great to have a female-led drama. And, you know, I don't think it's not trying to be anything other than it is.
It's called Firefly Lane. It's also on Netflix. And Caitlin was talking about Snowpiercer, season 2, now on Netflix as well. Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Caitlin's our occasional TV critic, and we talk to a different TV critic each Monday afternoon at around that time.